I'm David Martin Davies, and coming up on The Source, it's year four in the war in Ukraine against the invasion by Russia. PBS's Frontline takes us to the front line with an in-depth documentary giving us a stark view of combat. We see how the war is being waged, not by high-tech drones, but by brave men on the ground in a war where no end is in sight. And later on The Source, data centers need a lot of energy and water, and more of them are coming to the San Antonio area. The state of Texas isn't going to regulate their development, but can the city of San Antonio step in? San Antonio City Councilmember Rick Galvan is calling for a review of how rapidly expanding data centers are reshaping the region's power demand, water use, and neighborhood landscapes. This is a community conversation. We want to hear from you. Call in at 833-877-8255. That's what's coming up on The Source, but first, this news.
Support for The Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at uthealthsa.org.
Have a property past its prime? Consider donating it to Texas Public Radio. It's hassle-free, and you may qualify for a tax write-off, too. Learn more at tpr.careasy.org/realestatedonation.
Live from the John L. Santico studio in downtown San Antonio, this is The Source from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. News coverage of the war in Ukraine is frequently focused on the diplomatic battles, or we hear the story told with maps talking about offensives and counteroffensives. Maybe there are videos of high-tech drones doing warfare. Rarely, if ever, do we get to see war from the viewpoint of the Ukrainian soldiers who are actually on the ground, under attack, fighting yard by yard, and sometimes losing their lives in the process and their brave efforts to defend their country. But a new PBS documentary takes us right there, living up to the name Frontline. We witness a brutal and defining battle in the war in Ukraine against the Russian aggressors. It's called 2,000 Meters from Andreevka, and it comes from the Oscar-winning team behind 20 Days in Mariupol. Joining us now to tell us more about how this film was made, what it reveals about the war, what audience should take away from it, is Michelle Misner. She's a producer with Frontline. And Michelle, welcome to The Source.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
An incredible documentary. It's frightening to watch. And then to think about how, the Ukrainian filmmaker and AP journalist, Mstislav Chernov.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm not very good at this.
Oh, that's okay.
Chernov. Yeah. He put himself in that situation to capture this story. So he's fully invested in trying to really show the world what is happening here. Talk about that.
Sure, yeah. So I am a producer and editor on staff at Frontline PBS, and we've been working with Mstislav Chernov since his incredibly harrowing reports came out of Mariupol at the beginning of the full-scale invasion in 2022. And from those reports that he completed from Mariupol during the time he was there, during the siege of the city, we created with him the film 20 Days in Mariupol. And as we shared that film around the world, and he often would appear to represent it, to speak to it, connect with audiences as it was shared, he continued to go back to Ukraine and do his work of covering the war. And this is a continuation of that effort for him. He's actually been doing it for over a decade, since the initial invasion of Crimea by Russia in 2014. And so this is his life's work in many ways, not a chosen beat to have, I wouldn't say. It wasn't his dream to be covering a war in his own country, but he certainly met the moment. And this film is about particularly the takes place during the counteroffensive of the summer of 2023, and his focus point is the soldiers who are on the ground. And he spent time with them and gained access to their helmet cam footage to use within the film.
But he is not in a hotel lounge bar area covering a war, like we typically think of foreign correspondents in the war zone. I mean, he is right there. The bullets are flying. He's in there as these kamikaze drones are flying about. He put himself, it's no exaggeration, in harm's way in order to get this story.
Yeah. Yeah, he is a very experienced conflict journalist, has covered many wars in his time working with the Associated Press, who is our partner on this film, as well as on 20 Days in Mariupol. He is also able to comment on the way that war has changed even in the short period of time that he has been doing this work. And what we see in the film is a number of sources of footage. So there's the helmet cam video, there's footage from the first person drones and the battlefield drones that are just covering the ground so that from an aerial standpoint, so that commanders in a headquarters can guide the soldiers on the ground. So what Mstislav was able to do was see how a film could be made from all of this material that in and of itself is such a new way of being able to show what happens on the ground in the middle of battle. And that was something he certainly couldn't have done at the beginning of his career covering the war, but now is able to do with a film like 2,000 Meters to Andreevka. Then at the same time, what it also means is that it's become much more dangerous for journalists to be in the field with soldiers.
Yeah.
And the threat on journalists has increased. And there's a question of whether a film like this could be made or footage like this that he was able to get from his own camera in that time would be possible anymore, at least in this conflict. It was very hard to access the brigade at this point in the counteroffensive. If you recall, it was a much lauded but ultimately failed counteroffensive. And at the time, the Ukrainian forces were very reticent to let a journalist inside. But he, Mstislav, and his reporting partner, Alex Babenko, were able to gain access to this brigade and cover the war from the inside. And yes, you're right. He's not holed up in a hotel bar. He's absolutely in the field.
And he does tell in the film, in his track, that he's concerned about the world not paying attention to the Ukraine war enough. The war has dragged on. We're in year four. Is that part of his motivation as well? He doesn't want the world to look away?
Yes, I think you could say that. He's, as I said, he's been covering this war for so long, and he'll continue to cover it until it's done. And the Ukrainians and their partners are working, of course, to continue to try to restart peace talks and have it come to an end. But in the meantime, both civilian lives are being lost, which is what he covered in 20 days in Mariupol, and soldiers on the front lines, their lives continue to be lost as well. And so it's a very real and direct connection he and his colleagues, Ukrainian colleagues, have to the war. And so his effort and our effort at Frontline to create films that both in the moment contextualize the events of the war and broaden their reach is important. And also for the long term, documentaries are sometimes referred to as a first draft of history in terms of a filmic representation of what happened in these pivotal moments in our past. And so
one thing that they're documenting is just the incredible bravery of these Ukrainian soldiers as they're willing to put their lives out there. They're willing to lose their lives to fight off the Russian aggressors, defend their homeland. I got to take a break here. Our phone lines are open, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. If you want to call in, we'd love to hear from you. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Back in a minute.
Support for this podcast of The Source comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' compensation provider committed to rewarding policyholders who keep their workers safe and losses low. More at texasmutual.com/TXM Advantage. Texas Mutual. Texans get it.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. In the next half hour, we're going to be talking about the growth of data centers in our area. What does it mean for energy usage, our grid, our water use? Water is scarce. We're going to be hearing from District 6 Councilmember Rick Galvan about his plan to check on that. Right now, we're talking about a new Frontline documentary that will be airing on Tuesday on PBS. You could also find it for streaming on YouTube after it airs on Tuesday, November 25th. And the film will be available to stream on pbs.org/frontline and in the PBS app. It is a gripping, brutal, unflinching look at a Ukrainian brigade fighting its way through a heavily fortified forest in 2023. Just 1 mile of territory, but it's some of the most dangerous ground on the front line, and we see them fight, and it is brutal and bloody. And Michelle Meisner is with us. She is a producer at Frontline. It's one thing for us to see it, but how do Ukrainians see this film?
Oh, that's something that we were able to see firsthand when Mstislav and Alex premiered the film in the summer in Ukraine. Many of the soldiers and soldiers' families who are in the film were able to attend. Some of the families of the soldiers who we meet in the film and are no longer alive were able to attend. And they, at the end of the film, there was a standing ovation for 10 minutes, particularly for the soldiers who were present and representing the film with Mstislav and Alex and there to discuss it. And one of the main protagonists in the film, Fedya, was there with one of the other soldiers who has lost a leg. And so it was helping him stand up for that period of time as the audience was commending their work and recognizing it. I think the film to the people of Ukraine is a way of knowing that what is happening right now that story is being told and recorded in the same way that the people of Mariupol felt like the story of what was happening to them was recorded and documented. It is a way for the soldiers, 2,000 meters to Andriivka as a film, is a way for the soldiers to share with their family and loved ones what their experience has been in the field in a moment in time like this, where it's still not only happening, but it is so close to, and it's what they're going through right now. So to be able to witness their experiences in the battlefield, show their family and loved ones what they're going through, it's a helpful tool in that way. It's certainly not I've heard someone say it's the opposite of a recruitment video for war. And you can imagine that anyone who is about to embark on defending the country, seeing something like this would be a very sobering but important demonstration of what they're about to see and experience. And Fedya has actually talked about using it. He wants the men he's working with to know what they're getting into and to have some understanding of that. And the film, to him, represents that well.
In talking to the Ukrainian soldiers on the front line as they are in the middle of all the fighting, they're still very positive about why they are there, what they're fighting for. And they talk about how they, while this everything might be bombed out and destroyed and wrecked by the fighting now, they say in the future it will bloom again. They will drive out the Russians. They will reclaim Ukraine. And it will be Ukrainians, you know, freedom they're fighting for. But then when they, the contrast is when they capture a Russian combatant, when they ask him, why are you here? He says, I don't know. And I was really wondering, like, why are those, you know, what's happening here? What are the motivations? And you lay it out there. And I thought that was very significant.
Yeah, those are really important moments, were important moments to Mstislav to include. I think overall this conversation that Mstislav is the filmmaker behind the camera is having with Fedya, who is the commander of the brigade, leading the brigade, his unit through the forest. Mstislav is reflecting occasionally in the film on how they are responding to this moment in time. And Fedya has a outlook that is, you know, remarkably optimistic and believes that the war will end and that Ukraine will be victorious. And you have to ask, in the face of such tragedy and after such a, you know, so many years of this war going on, how to keep that positivity and that resilience. And so the film is a study a bit of that and what motivates someone like Fedya. And yes, that footage from the helmet cam of the soldiers in the final battle for Andreevka is remarkable in the way that the Russian combatant describes that he doesn't know why they're fighting. And the reason he responds is he's asked by one of the other soldiers from Ukraine, did you think, why are you doing this? Did you think it was my dream at 19 years old to be here fighting with you? Why are we here fighting? And the Russian soldier says he doesn't know.
When they get to Andreevka, basically the city or town is leveled. There's really nothing left of it. And it reflects on the horrible nature of war. You know, we used to say during the Vietnam War, we got to burn the village in order to save it. I mean, there was really nothing to rescue or occupy. And then later, you know, the Russians were able to recapture that territory. They're fighting over just a pile of rocks. So trying to make sense of that, you do get the idea of the pointlessness, the ridiculousness of war. This is, you know, international politics being played out with the blood of young men. Mm-hmm. And you really feel like there's got to be a way to resolve our differences than wasting lives. I mean, it's one thing that I took away from this.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I think it is there are moments where you can't help but reflect on the futility of war and how awful it is and how humanity seems to need to keep discovering that over and over again. Because what I've appreciated about historic war reporting, no matter the form, whether it's a written piece by Ernest Hemingway, or it's a book by Tim O'Brien called The Things They Carried, and, you know, or it's a story about Afghanistan. I think the war reporting that stands the test of time is the kind that transcends the specific war it's about, and it is about all wars. And I think the commonality you find in all of those is that it's the theme is that it is so terrible that this is how humans have and countries and ultimately, you know, the decisions that are made in rooms by politicians play out on the field, on the battlefields, and it's the young men and women who sacrifice their lives, and that it's ongoing is important to pay close attention to as it continues to happen.
One of the stories we've gotten about the Ukrainian war is how effective drones have been. And we've seen coverage of young men in bunkers flying these drones across the countryside and, you know, blowing up tanks and mm-hmm. things. But you don't really, and that's, that. I think that was kind of the overall view that many people have about how this war is being fought. Mm-hmm. When they forget about the actual infantry men who are out there, you know, having to charge and occupy the territory. They say you can't occupy a village or a piece of land with drones. You have to have the soldiers to go out there. So is this documentary to remind people that this is really how the war is being fought?
Yeah, I think it shows that both strategies are being used, right? There are absolutely new technologies being used in the field, but they're still operated by humans, and those humans are close to the action. And then, yes, indeed, they are actually holding firearms and inching forward over small portions of land. It took, you know, 3 months for them to get about a mile through the forest. And along the way, there are many battles that happen as they try to gain ground. And so there are these very strange moments where you're both looking at footage that is reminiscent of World War II and trench warfare, but you're looking at it from the helmet cams and the drone aerial perspectives of modern day technology. So that's a remarkable thing, and you know, for this moment in time to be able to see.
Meanwhile, we still have the international negotiations trying to broker some sort of deal. There's some effort to try and get Ukraine to sacrifice trade land for peace. And the Ukrainians who are fighting to fight and who are losing their loved ones, it seems like they're not willing to give up. They're the ones paying the price and fighting the war, and they're not ready to trade land for peace. And that needs to be remembered.
Yeah, I'm sure if you surveyed soldiers, they would have individual ideas about what should come next. And the reality is, though, that it seems leadership needs to happen, and the same people that are sending the soldiers out to fight, and as willing as they are to do so, and as ultimately successful as they have been in doing so, considering that the objective of the full-scale invasion in 2022 was to actually overthrow the country immediately, and here we are in 2025. So they have been very successful in that regard in holding their ground. But yes, there's a limit to that, and I think they're while the same time that they want to keep defending the land, they would also appreciate if leaders were able to find a resolution that was acceptable and helped Ukraine, their country, survive.
And the United States has a role to play in that, in supporting Ukraine to strengthen their hand. So you were the editor on this. It seems like we got an unflinching view, but were there some things you just decided I can't put this in because it is just too graphic? I mean, it was pretty graphic to begin with.
Yeah. There's a line, I think, when you're editing or when you're working with a team, there's always a reason why you show what you show. And I think it's the impact of those moments overall can make a film feel graphic at the end or harrowing, which this film, I do believe, is, as it should be. It's about war. But There are of course things that we would never show that would be not within our editorial standards. But we're I would say that one of the things that I've appreciated people have said about this film is that given that this has a lot of restraint, that the film does have a lot of restraint. Because there's we don't want people to turn away.
Yeah.
And so it's going to be on
PBS Frontline on Tuesday night, 2,000 meters to Andreevka. And thank you so much, Michelle Misner. She's editor-producer at Frontline. Thank you so much.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies. Tim Gutierrez is the show's producer. Additional production support from Steve Short, Ruben Garcia, Yvette Benavides, and Dan Katz, Vice President of News. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.